We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, welcome into Candlestick Chronicles, a 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Kyle Madsen. I write about the 49ers over at NinersWire.com, part of the USA Today Sports Media Group. Joining me shortly is Chris Biederman of the Sacramento Bee. And we have a 49ers NFC Championship game loss to dive into. But first, in better news, we're brought to you by Cooperage. I feel bad associating Cooperage with an NFC Championship game loss, but it's just a reminder that, hey, not everything's bad in the world right now. Cooperage is still around. You can go visit the brewery. Maybe you're on your way there right now listening to this. You can go visit the brewery and hang out. The vibes are great. The beer is good. They're always going to have a good food truck for you. And maybe you get home and you want to get more, or maybe you can't get to Santa Rosa to the brewery, log on to CooperageBrewing.com. That's CooperageBrewing.com. You can order a case. They'll send it right to your door. You get beer right on your front doorstep. It's the very best way to acquire beer. I'll tell you every time, and I mean it every single time. Cooperage Brewing. Shout out to them. All right, let's talk football.
Blue Wire.
Hey, this is George Kittle, and you're listening to Candlestick Chronicles.
Has got him and a sack him back inside the 30-yard line. Nick Bosa drops Aaron Rodgers for a 13-yard loss.
Quick pass caught by Kittle. He dives and he's in. Touchdown, 49ers.
It's such a bummer. Like, that game was just a bummer. Just from a not even a, like, remove the 49ers aspect of it. Like, just remove the teams. And just go, hey, this is what the matchup is. You're thinking, man, this is going to be an awesome football game. And then you watch how the Eagles go down on the first drive and they convert a ridiculous third down where A and completes it to A.J. Brown right before it hits the ground. And then they get that ridiculous fourth and three, quote-unquote, completion to Devontae Smith, which we learned later was not a completion, but it was called as such, a 49ers don't challenge. And the Eagles score. And it's like, man, they scored, but they really had to work uphill to get there. And then you get the Niners. Cruise down to the 50. It's like, man, the Niners are moving. This game is going to be as advertised. And then Brock Purdy gets hurt. And it turns into something of a week two preseason game. That was a vibe. It turned an NFC Championship game into a preseason game feel. And that sucks. Like I said, removing the 49ers even from it, just from a football standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, these were two teams that I thought were super evenly matched.
Yeah.
Like, super talented, stars all over the field. Quite easily the two best teams in the NFC. And with Brock Purdy getting hurt, we were robbed of seeing what a full 60-minute game would have looked like. And yeah, it sucks. It was, you know, there was so much hype. It was such a difficult game to sort of prognosticate because, like, you know, the talent is pretty equal, but there were certainly matchup issues that you could dive into, and it was all just rendered moot. And it was like, all right, Brock Purdy's out. And that, to me, like, once he got hurt, the game was over. Like, we can hand wring about Kyle Shanahan not throwing the challenge flag on Devontae Smith's catch and, you know, Josh Johnson fumbling and all that. It's like, no, the game was over. Like, they're, you know, the analysis is to me that the 49ers getting to that point is pretty ridiculous, right? Like, pretty amazing that with their third string quarterback, they went as far as they did. They won two playoff games with a seventh round pick playing in his first season. He's Mr. Irrelevant. And while he was playing, they had arguably, statistically, the one of the best offenses, if not the best offense in the entire NFL, with him running the show. And you think back to last year and the 49ers run through the playoffs, they were winning games despite their quarterback play. I thought you can make a case that their quarterback play was better this during these playoffs, and that Brock Purdy gave the 49ers an upgrade over Jimmy Garoppolo. And in that sense, I thought the 49ers, this version of the 49ers when healthy, was the best 49ers team that Kyle Shanahan's had. And that's largely a function of just the offense being better and the quarterback being better. But that was all taken away by the injury. And then, you know, that like the Niners weren't going to win this game with Josh Johnson, their four-string quarterback who they signed off Denver's practice squad in December. They weren't going to go beat arguably the best team in the NFL on its home field in the NFC Championship game, already, you know, already in that position. So, yeah, I mean, people are – I mean, I don't really care what people are saying on Twitter. People are like upset with Kyle Shanahan. It's like, man, if you zoom out and look at the rest of the league, you really have first world problems right now, because there are some teams that don't even have a head coach, let alone one who could even get you this far with a third string quarterback. Sure. I don't know how many NFL head coaches could get a team to an NFC or a conference title game with a backup, let alone a third stringer.
But get there comfortably.
Yeah. Right. Like, and be fate. Like there wasn't any, like, during the stretch, it was like, oh, the 49ers are still very much a juggernaut.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh man, they're just piecing this thing together and, you know, getting kind of lucky and all that. It was like, no, they're playing at a high level. They're still a juggernaut. And so it's really, really hard to win the Super Bowl. That's why the Super Bowl is what it is. It's so hard to win it because the league's so competitive. The line between being good and being bad is so thin in the NFL. And that's ultimately why it's the most popular sport in America, is just because you're on a razor's edge the entire time. And the Niners just got to a point where they couldn't overcome losing their third and then fourth string quarterback. And like, I don't think it's a scenario where it's like, okay, change has got to be made.
I learned nothing big picture about the 49ers in this game.
Right. It was just a bummer that this is like the game that we're looking forward to pretty much all year. Like, oh man, I hope the Niners play the Eagles. And then it's just like, oh, Brock Purdy's hurt. This is a blowout.
Right. If this game happened in week six, if this exact same game happened, it would be like, man, quarterbacks got hurt. What are you going to do? But because it's the NFC Championship game, there has to be some larger big picture thing. And I just don't think that's the case. I understand frustration. I understand being upset. And are there things Kyle Shanahan could have done differently? Yeah, absolutely. The challenge on the first drive, for example. Like, that was a play to me. Challenge it. Especially since they went into the half with all three of their timeouts.
Yeah.
But that was a play to me. It's like, challenge it, because the risk reward, burning a timeout in that spot, is well worth the potential reward of, or the risk of burning a timeout in that spot is well worth the potential reward of overturning that play and getting your offense the ball.
Especially in the first half.
Yeah. Like, the defense got off the field and they were not rewarded for it. And instead the Eagles get a touchdown. And that's not even hindsight. Like, that's that spot. He should have challenged it.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't the game. That was not what lost the game. Like, was it a bad thing from the game? Yeah. Was Tyler Kroft blocking Hassan Reddick a bad aspect of the game? Yeah. But there's no, like, big picture Kyle Shanahan can't win the big one, or the 49ers are flawed in some fatal way. I don't see that. I saw a game where things went sideways for a really good team. And let me tell you something, just real quick. The reason this is, I think, so frustrating is, had Brock Purdy stayed healthy, the 49ers were going to win this game. the Eagles went for 3.4 yards per rush. They ran for 148 yards, but they needed 44 carries to do it. And then, I'm sorry, it's technically 42 carries for 150 yards. Gardner Minshew kneeled out twice to end the game. But then Jalen Hurts wasn't great either. 15 of 25 for a buck 21. That's 4.8 yards per attempt. He didn't throw a touchdown. Like, the Niners defense was really, really good. And yeah, they ran out of quarterbacks. It sucks.
Yeah, the defense was good for three series. And then I think a lot of people will be like, oh, the defense didn't play well. They gave up 31 points. It's like, well, they're playing opposite an offense that is doing nothing. Like, that's what complementary football is. That's like why complementary football is such a cliche, because you need it to at least be functional on offense for your defense to be in a position to succeed. When your offense literally does not have a quarterback capable of throwing the ball, no matter how good your defense is, it's going to be in a bad spot.
Yeah.
The Niners had 164 yards of offense. They're like, they had 500 against Seattle, 312 against the Cowboys, which is generally like a down game. Arizona, 311. They had 454 against the Raiders, 371 against the Commanders, 308. They had less than half of their usual yardage. Yeah. Just because, like, it was a function of losing your quarterback and then losing his backup and literally not having a quarterback capable of throwing the ball.
Yep.
So, you know, like, I sure blame the defense for penalties. I thought people going after the officiating, sure, there weren't great calls, but that's not why the Niners lost. Right. No. And like, I really, the only on the drive that led to a touchdown where the Niners had three penalties, only one of them in my mind was questionable, and that was the Jimmy Ward one. The Mooney Ward thing was a pretty clear foul, I thought. The T.Y. McGill thing was a pretty clear foul. I guess you could argue that he was being held before he grabbed the face mask. Like, whatever, like, you could call holding on every play. You know, I'm not super interested in litigating the officiating in this game, because it wasn't like...
If the officiating is a little bit different, the game's maybe a little closer.
Right. Do they lose 24-7 instead of 31? Right. Like,
I'll even get points off of it. Maybe it's 24-14.
Right.
Like, it just, there were once, especially once Josh Johnson went down, especially once he went down.
Yeah.
There were no combination of realistic things that were going to happen that were going to get the 49ers the 20 points they were going to need to win.
Yeah.
Or however many they were going to need.
Yeah. And I thought you could see it on Kyle Shanahan's face in his postgame press conference. And I know some of the writers wrote about it. Like, Shanahan saying that this one hurt more than the others, like, indicates how good he thought this team was and how unfortunate it was to really just not even get a chance to win the game. And like, you know, I know some weirdos will say, like, oh, you're just using the quarterback thing as an excuse. It's like, it's not an excuse. Like, we talk about quarterbacks so much, and we talk about the draft so much, and everything about roster construction so much, because it's all about having good players. Well, when you don't have your good players, it's not an excuse. It's just a fact. It's like, you know, the 49ers got where they are because they have good players. If you lose your good players, then that's just something that's going to make it more difficult to win. Like, excuses, whatever. It's a weird thing.
Hey, do you know what an excuse is?
Sure.
The officiating. That's an excuse.
Yeah. Like, saying it's rigged.
Hey, playing with a quarterback that literally physically can't throw the football is just that makes it impossible to win. You just can't do that.
Yeah. It would be hard enough to win like the Falcons game in early in the season, right? I think that was early October. Like, that would have been a tough game to win without a quarterback that could throw, let alone the NFC championship game on the road in Philadelphia against a team that was arguably the best team in the NFL all season. So
one of the critiques I've seen of Kyle Shanahan is that they weren't creative enough once Josh Johnson went down, which is okay.
Didn't practice the quarterback-less offense enough this week.
Right. Which, okay, right. Which is, that's the whole thing. Like, when you lose both of your quarterbacks, like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know? But I understand the idea. I just want to put, if you want to say, hey, they should have mixed in some more Wildcat, or, you know, done some direct snaps to Debo and just see what happens. Fine. Fine. If that's cool. If you think that the outcome of the running plays would have changed based on whether it was a handoff or a direct snap, okay. But the idea that they could have cobbled together a passing offense with Christian McCaffrey or Kyle Juszczyk taking the snaps, it's asinine. And I don't mean this to be, I'm not saying this to be a dick. Like, Kendall Hinton, do you remember him? The Broncos guy? He was the practice squad wide receiver that they brought up to play quarterback.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Against the Saints. Kendall Hinton, like, actually played quarterback in college. He was a receiver for his last 2 years, but he threw, like, 230 passes or 250 passes or something at Wake Forest. So, like, an ACC school, D1 school. And he was a disaster as an NFL quarterback. Disaster. Catastrophic. The idea that because Jawan Jennings was a four-star recruit as a quarterback in high school, he could have just stepped in. And by the way, he threw five passes at Tennessee, and they were all as like gadget plays because he was a receiver his entire career with the Volunteers. But the idea that because he was recruited as a quarterback, he could have just played quarterback in the NFL, that's insane. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's like saying the best quarterback from your hometown high school could have just stepped into that game and played.
Yeah, to me, like, the disappointment I get from fans, like, really should be about just the fact that we didn't get to see the realized version of the 49ers in the biggest game of the season.
Yes.
That should be the foot that, like, everybody, not everybody, a lot of people want to do the blame game stuff, and it's like, fine, I get it. It's the NFL, and you can do that to a certain extent, but it's sort of pointless in a game where a team already playing its third string quarterback loses its third string and then its fourth string quarterback and then just doesn't have a quarterback who can actually throw the ball like that. I don't know who you blame in that scenario. No, Kyle Shanahan wasn't perfect. Like, I tweeted about, you know, the long developing play action plays that, and you know, the one that Brock Purdy got hurt on, it was like those plays didn't really work against the Cowboys. And when you're going against an elite pass rush, like, you're going to potentially put your quarterback in harm's way with those long plays because those guys are just going to go after the quarterback regardless. And that's what happened. And Tyler Kroft, yeah, probably going to lose a matchup to Hassan Reddick. I think the bigger question is not necessarily the play call. It's, why is Tyler Kroft the guy that's active this week after being inactive last week in favor of Ross Dwelly against the Cowboys? Right. Like, Tyler Kroft missed some blocks in the running game in the Seahawks game. And then the coaching staff was like, all right, well, that wasn't good. We're going to make him inactive. And then this week he's up and he's trying to block a Pro Bowl pass rusher. It's like, I would love to know more about that decision, just having him active and having him be that guy and not somebody else. But again, like, injuries happen in football. I think that the thing that's disappointing is that the 49ers were unable to go down really swinging. I mean, Trent Williams went down swinging, but like, they weren't, they had to, their season ended when they clearly weren't anything close to the football team that we've seen play so well the last 3 months, basically.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most disappointing part. And it's not, I don't think there's anybody to blame. It's just what happens in a sport where injuries happen all the time.
And they were winning that game if Brock Purdy stayed healthy. I'm convinced of that. I know I can't like say that like for certain, like, because we just don't know.
Yeah.
But no one will ever convince me that they were losing that game. Like, certainly their defense is just playing too well.
Yeah, the defense was playing really, really well before things started to fall apart. And I do think some of the penalties are probably just a result of, like, frustration.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Like, if you're defending and you know the offense can't do anything and you're playing at a really high level and you've exerted everything that the 49ers defensive players have exerted over these months and years getting to this point, to just know in the back of your mind, like being realistic about things, like we have no chance to win this game. Yeah, you're probably going to play a little bit frustrated and you're probably going to commit some penalties that you shouldn't. And I think that's human nature. Like in that spot with how emotional a game this was, like that's, to me, that's understandable. It's not excusable. And again, I don't think the officiating was as bad as some people made it seem.
Right.
But, you know, like I don't feel like the Niners, the Niners gave up 31 points. Their defense must suck. Like, no, they limited one of the best offenses in the NFL to 269 yards. Like in 95% of games, that number is going to be good enough to win.
Yeah. The Eagles went fewer than 4 yards per play.
Yeah.
Like that's nuts.
The Eagles averaged 3.8 yards per play with the quarterback who might be, or who is by definition, an MVP candidate. The Niners averaged 3.6 yards per play without a quarterback that could functionally throw the ball forward.
That's nuts to think about it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just, man, like, yeah, it just kind of sucks, man. Like they were so freaking good all year and just hit a wall.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. Like, I think I'll look back on this and we'll see how the Super Bowl goes. It might be that whoever wins does so convincingly, they'll be like, oh, Brock Purdy wasn't beating that team. But like, I think the Chiefs are probably going to roll the Eagles. I didn't think the Eagles were super impressive today either. Like, I think that's one of the reasons why I thought, or I think I agree with you in that the 49ers probably win today, because the Eagles weren't like amazing. Like, I thought the Niners did a really good job of, yeah, like Jalen Hurts had a lot of time to throw, but I think generally a lot of that was by design because the Niners didn't want to shoot too far up the field and allow Hurts to get behind them. Like, they just kind of contained him to the pocket, played sticky coverage. And that was like an effective formula throughout most of the game. Just things got out of hand. But I do think there's a good chance we look back on this in the years to come and be like, man, that 2022 team probably could have won the Super Bowl had they not just lost both their quarterbacks in the title game.
Was it the 98? Was it the 98 team where Garrison Hurst hurt his ankle in Atlanta? I think it was 98. Same kind
something,
of
vibe. Something around that, yeah.
But I think the game, like removing the, you know, first quarter challenge and all that, I thought the game effectively ended with Josh Johnson's fumble.
Yeah.
Because in that spot still, like, was Josh Johnson phenomenal? No. But with where they were, with a minute and a half left, and receiving the ball at halftime, if he goes out and they hold on to the ball there and even kick a field goal and they're down 14-10 and receiving the ball at the half, like, that's a much different game than them being down 21-7.
Right.
Like, that was just that to me, like I said, when you're trying to pick apart like individual things that happened, that's not to say Josh Johnson lost in the game, but when you're looking at like, man, that was the turning point. It's that play.
Yeah. That was when like you thought like, okay, maybe, cause even Greg Olson said it. It was like, at one point he was like, the Niners are fine. it felt like Nick Bosa got spiked on the sideline and was hurt. Fred Warner like left after the second defensive play, probably had a stinger or something. You know, Brock Purdy gets hurt. It felt like just a cavalcade of just terrible things happening to the 49ers early on. And it was 7-7 after Christian McCaffrey's ridiculous run. Like, it wasn't like, it felt like it was 28-0, but it was 7-7. And then the Eagles go score. And then, yeah, like to your point, they would have been in the game had even if they just didn't get any points, like 7-14 going into the half is way different than down 21-7.
Yeah.
And I saw people like, again, I don't want to do the thing where we like call out opinions we disagree with, but like This is the last one.
That's what we're here for, dude. It's our podcast.
I saw people being like, Kyle Shanahan should have been more conservative and blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, we're blaming Kyle Shanahan because Josh Johnson dropped a perfectly catchable shotgun snap.
Right.
Like, is that what we're doing? Like, Josh Johnson couldn't have just as easily fumbled a snap from under center.
Kyle Shanahan should have called the fight.
I just don't get it, man, because like we spend so much time talking about Kyle Shanahan at the end of half scenarios, and I was like, oh, he's actually being aggressive here, like, good, like, go try to get points. Like, you, if you have your four string quarterback in that game, I would much rather you just try to make plays down the field and empower your guy and just be like, yeah, we're going after it. We have Debo Samuel, we have Brandon Ayuk, we have George Kittle, we have Christian McCaffrey. Like, let him get the distribute passes to this guy, to his guys, and see if they can go get points. I was like, you know, like, cool, good on Kyle Shanahan by being aggressive here. And then to be like, oh, Kyle Shanahan really killed the 49ers by being aggressive for the half. It's like, what?
If Kyle Shanahan, what in the world? if they had come out instead of a shotgun snap there and just gone like draw play, run the clock out,
yeah,
we've gotten killed for being too conservative.
Yeah, that, and yeah.
Catch a shotgun snap.
Yeah, that's catch it. A shot. It's easy.
Do you want to talk about the Brock Purdy news that Adam Schefter reported?
Yeah, that's...
So this is here's the next step. So, hey, RE, the NFC Championship game, my cat's got a lot to say. You can probably hear him in the background, but regarding the NFC Championship game, I've got nothing else to really say. The 49ers that we know and watched all year did not get a chance to show up.
Yeah.
I thought for the defense showed out. Did they allow 31? Yeah. But we've talked about why that's inflated a little bit. They were handcuffed by their quarterback situation. And that's what this game, if I'm ever lucky enough to have kids, when I'm telling them about this game, it would be like, oh yeah, that was the Josh Johnson game. Like, that was the game where they just ran out of quarterbacks.
Yep.
That's how I'm going to define. It's not going to be, oh, that was the game where Javon Kinlaw got pushed around on the interior and I don't know how they were going to stop the. It just, no, they lost a game where all their quarterbacks got hurt. Shit happens. Brock Purdy, speaking of quarterbacks being hurt, Adam Schefter Sunday evening reported that the 49ers believe Purdy has a UCL injury. The extent of that injury is unknown. He's going to have an MRI on Monday. If the UCL is not ruptured, Schefter reports it'll be a 6-week recovery. There's no timeline listed if that is a torn UCL, which would likely require surgery, which once again puts us in a spot where the 49ers season is over and their quarterback situation for next year is, that's what I got for you. I don't know.
As soon as I saw the play, I was just like, oh, please don't be hurt. Oh, please don't be hurt. Cause like, it looked kind of bad when it happened. It's like to try to throw something and then have your arm hit that way. Like, I was like, oh man, please don't be hurt. So a UCL injury, you and I both have backgrounds in baseball. If it's torn, it could require Tommy John, which if it's Tommy John, I cannot imagine, given that it's the end of January, that Brock Purdy is going to be able to throw at any point this offseason and even next summer and into the fall, right? So there's a decent chance if it's Tommy John that Brock Purdy won't even be available to compete for the starting job. And even if he can throw, I couldn't imagine he would be able to throw until midway through next season at some point. And even then, you're like, well, is his arm strong enough to even like play NFL quarterback? So, I mean, people, the results of the MRI might be out by the time people listen to this. But if it's a tear, then we're going all the way back to square one with the 49ers quarterback thing. Which is crazy to think about because it's been the last two off seasons have been just littered with quarterback drama and controversy and difficult decisions. And it felt like even last year, with Jimmy Garoppolo expected to be out of the picture, that Trey Lance would be the surefire starter. Well, given Trey Lance broke his ankle and played a game in a not even a quarter, I don't know that the 49ers can feel any level of confidence that they could go win a Super Bowl with Trey Lance next year. Like, Trey Lance is a giant question mark. He still has upside, but they can't, they should not go into the season being like, yeah, we have Trey, we're good. If Brock Purdy has to, you know, was unavailable because he has surgery on his elbow. So now, is Jimmy Garoppolo going to be back in the mix? It's absolutely insane that given all that happened, that that's a real question now. And now that, you know, Brock Purdy's potentially, like, I remain, my whole thing with Tom Brady, listeners to the pod for a while have known that, like, I sort of suspected Tom Brady would be coming to the 49ers. And that thought in my head dissipated when Brock Purdy became a thing and looked like a real starting quarterback you could potentially win a championship with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if Brock Purdy's not going to be able to play in 2023 because of Tommy John surgery, that Tom Brady can of worms is open again, I would say.
Jimmy Garoppolo can of worms.
Yeah, I mean, one of the two.
Honestly, yeah.
Are you looking forward to an offseason of potentially having all these conversations on the pod again for the third straight offseason?
I am, because we can just re-rack some. we'll just run it back. We'll take a week off and just republish old pods.
Just republish old pods and then, like, insert 2023 instead of, like, 2022. Just, like, but make, like, it super obvious.
Yeah, but, like, well, going into the 2023 season, I'm down.
Jimmy Garoppolo had a foot injury.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
There's no way they run it back with Jimmy, right?
I don't know.
Never say never, but
never say never, man. Would, like, would it be crazy if they did?
Yeah. Yeah, it would be.
Would it be? He played pretty well.
Yeah, and then got hurt again.
Yeah.
The definition of insanity is the thing about doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results.
Right, but
No.
I think it's justifiable. No. It's justifiable. No. If you have Trey Lance, I mean, the thing is, I don't know. Do you operate like, well, we just have to assume we're going to use three quarterbacks no matter what? Because it almost feels like the 49ers have to operate that way. So wouldn't you rather just...
What's TJ Yates doing?
Would you rather have TJ Yates than Jimmy Garoppolo?
No.
That's what I'm saying. If you go down the list, given the way Jimmy played,
hey,
it's not the worst option in the world.
No, it's not. But I think after a season where you lose four quarterbacks to injury, bringing back your oft-injured starting quarterback would be batshit.
giving him the starting job and paying him $35 million, I think would qualify as batshit.
Yeah.
Being like, hey, Jimmy, here's $12 million. Come back and compete for the starting job. I don't think that's batshit at all. I think that makes sense.
You do that. I think there's going to be a market for him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably not giving Jimmy like $25 million a year, which, like, he might get from some desperate team that, like, misses out on Aaron Rodgers or something this offseason. Or hell, maybe the Packers are like, maybe the Packers are trying to pay Jimmy Garoppolo and have him compete with Jordan Love or something.
Totally.
I don't know. But no, I'm just saying it's a possibility. Like, we cannot.
It definitely is.
No, we completely ruled out Jimmy Garoppolo going into last season. And
I'm not after what happened last year, I'm not ruling anything out.
Yeah, so we can't rule it out. I guess
Steve Young coming back on the table.
Have you seen him? He looks like he can still play.
He looks like he can still play. Him and
Jerry Rice? He still runs some routes.
You know who? Daryl Tapp. Daryl Tapp looks like he could still play, bro.
It's such a backhanded thing to say about middle-aged old guys. Like, oh, Jerry Rice isn't fat.
Jerry Rice
is not obese at the moment. He's in pretty good shape for a 50-plus-year-old guy. You know, it's like, no, he cannot still play in the NFL, but he's not fat.
You can hear him creaking while he's running those routes, man.
We love Jerry, friend of the pod.
He's fantastic.
But I just cried.
And let me just get this out. He would cook me in any athletic thing. I need that to be like, this is not a Jerry Rice is a normal human. Like, no, Jerry Rice is still the greatest football player of all time.
Right.
And would it'd still be awesome at every football thing compared to anybody.
I guess when you're in him. When you're in our position and you're sort of like on the periphery, and every time Jerry Rice is like around, which is basically every home game, everyone says,
that's cool as hell that he does that.
Absolutely. When everyone's like, oh, Jerry Rice can still play, or it looks like he can still play. Like, it's just, ridiculous thing to say.
We had somebody call into the 95.7 postgame show tonight. And he was like, he made some comment about like how even he could have gotten to Purdy on that play. I was like, no, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Tyler right. Croft would sit you on your ass so fast. Right. I just need that out.
I play.
He's like, no, I know. Like, is that what you said though?
I was a sophomore on varsity, bro.
Yeah. So quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, what do you think's gonna happen if Purdy? So. Here's the thing. If it's a 6-week injury, I expect Purdy to be the starter. Trey Lance would be the backup, at least going into the offseason program. And maybe the Niners sign a mid-level veteran. Like, I don't even know if Andy Dalton's available, but somebody of that ilk or quality, right? Like,
sure.
The Andy Dalton veteran, Brock Purdy, and Trey Lance, I think, is a perfectly fine quarterback room to go into a season with, assuming Purdy's healthy. If Purdy's out, then I think you're thinking hard about bringing Jimmy back, and you're thinking really hard about Tom Brady. Yeah. And maybe Aaron Rodgers, although I don't know.
He's making so much money.
He's making a lot of money, and I just don't know if Aaron Rodgers is like a personality fit.
No.
I don't think organizationally, from a locker room standpoint, from Kyle Shanahan's standpoint, like,
no,
I don't think
it would. Here's the thing. This goes to Rodgers, and this goes to, again, on post, people were trying to fire Kyle Shanahan and get Sean Payton. The Niners don't have draft capital to get any of these people.
Yeah. They can't trade a first for Payton because they don't have it.
They don't have it. And I guess they have a 2024, but
also, like, they're not firing Kyle Shanahan, so.
Right. Well, and but the Sean Payton, but like the Aaron Rodgers thing, they're not going to have the draft capital to trade for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And I just can't imagine they would do that when they're set up right now with Trey Lance and Brock Purdy conceivably making a combined like $10 million or whatever it is.
Right. They're going to need a right tackle. They're going to need a slot cornerback/safety. Potentially, they're going to need
3 interior linemen.
Wow.
A center and 2 right guards.
Maybe a defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Javon Kinlaw just woof.
He was not good on Sunday.
tough reps against the Eagles offensive line.
He might still be a really good player. He was not good on Sunday.
He was not good. D'Amico Ryans is probably gone.
D'Amico Ryans definitely gone. They were so good defensively.
Yeah, it sounds like he's going to take the Texans job, or at least he's a favorite for it.
Peace and peace.
Who would you hire? Vic Fangio going to the Dolphins, by the way, most likely. Or that might be a done deal. I'm not sure.
I'm a big Steve Wilkes guy.
Yeah, I know you're a Steve Wilkes guy. I'm a Jiro Evero guy.
He's also great. And if he's available, yes.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. But I just have a soft spot for Steve Wilkes because I think he's probably a really good football coach. and he got one shot to be a head coach, and it was with a disastrous Cardinals team, and they fired him after 1 year. Yeah. And I thought he just kind of got hosed.
Yeah, I think Ejiro Evero is, like, reading up on him today. I read a piece in The Athletic about how he's been influenced by so many different coaches, defensive coaches, ranging from, like, Monty Kiffin to Raheem Morris to, you know, a bunch of other guys. And he can coach a lot of different schemes. Vic Fangio, too, I think. And I think that just sort of aligns with what Kyle Shanahan's sort of looking for from a broad picture standpoint. Mm-hmm. Like somebody who's like, okay, like, do what you want to do schematically, but we're still going to run the wide nine and Chris Kocurek's still going to be our D line coach. And mm-hmm. like, we're still going to have certain principles that we play with because that's what matches our personnel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Evero has seen so much. He was also a former 49ers assistant at one point, but also like influenced by Monty Kiffin in the same way that Kyle Shanahan was. Like, Kyle Shanahan's lens when it comes to defensive football is heavily influenced by Monty Kiffin because his first NFL job was with the Buccaneers on John Gruden's staff when Kiffin was there.
Our favorite cast member, Nick Wagner, wrote an absolute banger of a story about that.
Yeah.
It's a couple years ago.
Yeah. And Nick's Christian McCaffrey piece this week was really, really good on the trade and everything. That was very well reported. A lot of interesting details in there I hadn't seen surface until that. So shouts to Nick, his regular shout out on the pod.
Ready to fit that in. Checks in the mail.
But no, I think Ejiro Evero would be probably my preferred candidate if I were making the hire. Because it doesn't sound like, I mean, the Broncos did not offer him or did not move him up through the coaching search after interviewing him. Like they were like, yeah, we're going a different direction. I can't imagine after that, he's like dying to come back as a DC.
Yeah, I would imagine probably not.
So if he's available, I think he's about as good as you can do. And the 49ers have to be just a super desirable spot, given all the talent that they have. Like, oh, you can go be a DC on Kyle Shanahan's staff and coach Nick Bosa and Fred Warner. Like, yeah, that can make that work.
Go fill a position that has now been vacated twice by guys who went on to be head coaches.
Right, yeah.
And you get Nick Bosa and Fred Warner and Chevarius Ward and Eric Armstead. Like, yeah, sure, go do that.
Yeah. What's your takeaway from the season going to be, you think?
That the 49ers, barring health, are just going to kind of be in the mix for the next however many years.
Yeah.
They're just really good. And I think that they're organizationally, they are in a spot where they can just kind of keep churning out really good rosters.
Yeah.
And if there's like a leap, let's say Brock Purdy's going to play, but if there's some leap that he's going to take, then watch out.
Yeah.
He might be like at his ceiling. There might not be a leap, but if there is, man.
Well, with what the offense looked like with Josh Johnson in there, even like that just kind of goes to show how impressive Brock Purdy was. Like, oh, this was a third string quarterback. Like, no, he really was playing at a high level. Like, probably the highest level of play over that amount of time, including the playoffs, that the 49ers have had since Jimmy Garoppolo came to the 49ers in 2017.
Yeah. I think that's probably right.
So this will always go down to me as like a what if, like, because I thought it was the best group of skill position guys that Kyle Shanahan's had. The defense wasn't as good as 2019, but the offense was markedly better, in my opinion. And just the level of experience this group had as opposed to 2019.
Mm-hmm.
I think the playoff run last year and having to win all those games at the end of the regular season, including week 18, was huge, just organizationally, like big picture beyond just last season. Like, one of the reasons why I had a certain level of confidence in this 49ers team was being like, well, Yeah, they went and beat Aaron Rodgers, the MVP, at Lambeau Field last year with the defense playing completely lights out, which came after beating Dallas on the road. Like, they probably should have beat the Rams. Like, if Jaquiski Tartt catches that interception, they're probably going back to the Super Bowl last year. And the Bengals were certainly a beatable team.
Yeah.
But this year, I just thought it was, with the way Purdy was playing, it was the best team that Kyle Shanahan's had to date. And so it would be a real shame if after, you know, 10 years from now, if they never get that Super Bowl, all this stuff will kind of be like invalidated.
Yeah.
You know, because it'll be like, well, they were really close, but they just never got there. Whereas right now, I think you and I are both in agreement. Like, no, this team could win a Super Bowl at some point. Like, they've been good enough to win Super Bowls.
There's no reason to think that they won't just be back here next year.
Well, if Brock Purdy can't play next year.
No, okay, but barring injury, you're right.
If Brock Purdy can't play and you're like, well, is Trey Lance going to be good? And maybe, look, maybe Trey Lance comes back and maybe he's awesome.
Right. On the table.
It's on the table. I don't know that I'm necessarily expecting it, but it would look, I think it would look a lot different than what Brock Purdy looked like.
Definitely.
So hopefully, I don't know, hopefully, just tired of injuries, man. Just not a fun thing to talk about.
I know it.
Over and over again with this team. But no, it was a fun season. I think ultimately, like, my big takeaway from the NFC title game will be that the run they went on was probably more improbable. I could figure out a better way to say that. Was more improbable than we gave it credit for as it was happening.
Yep. I think that's probably right. Want to know the good news? If my math is correct, the 49ers have the Mr. Irrelevant pick again. So, ipso facto.
So they'll just, okay. So yeah, I feel better now. I mean, if Purdy's gone for the year, they'll just draft another one with Mr. Irrelevant and be right in the same spot.
I'm going to go dig deep on the quarterback draft class.
Right. Just find like the 12th best guy and be like, Shanahan's going to love him.
this is the guy. A little undersized, not a great arm. Get him in here.
But really smart. Loved by his teammates. Played a lot of football.
And he needs to come from, like, Mizzou.
Right.
Or one of those.
I don't know about Mizzou, but.
Yeah, people from Mizzou suck. maybe a better school like KU or something.
No, I think, remember after the 2019 draft and like during the draft, everyone's like, oh, everyone's looking for the next Deebo Samuel. It's going to be more obnoxious this year. Everyone's going to be looking for the next Brock Purdy.
There's going to be 17 quarterbacks taken on day three.
Yeah, and they're going to be like analysts and be like, well, yeah, I think he's got a little Brock Purdy to his game.
Yeah, man.
Brock what Purdy's a seventh round pick. We got this guy in round five. We think he's better than Purdy. Okay.
So, man. I don't know. I got nothing else to say about this game. At least not right now.
I don't either. I'll need to go to sleep and got to do another Kings game in Minnesota. It is -1 degree in Minnesota right now.
What's the temperature outside? There's not one.
It is.
That's a Ron White joke. Shout out.
Shout out to our guy, Craig.
Craig's the best.
Craig's our guy. Very loyal listener to the pod. Went out to lunch the other day. Talk shop, talk Niners, talk life. It was great. It was enjoyable.
Craig, and if you're listening to this pod and you're not familiar with Craig, Craig is the guy, and if you're not familiar with him, you might have seen this. He wore the Shannon Sharp jersey to the Grizzlies Timberwolves game while sitting courtside after the whole Shannon Sharp Grizzlies beef. A+ trolling.
Yeah.
I thought that was great.
Yeah. Yep. A+ human. Been good to hang out with him this weekend. But yeah, we will have more More to come this week at some point. We're not going to do the producing on the pod thing that we do sometimes, but there will be more pod content coming out. We'll probably have to talk about a Brock Purdy injury, whether or not he's...
I was going to say, I'm doing a podcast tomorrow.
Okay. Well, it might have to be early afternoon then. Bring your mic to the office.
Yeah, no, I bring it. I carry it with me all the time.
Okay, perfect. Yeah,
we'll have a break early in this week.
Oh, you cut out. Say that again.
Then we'll have another pod for you early in this week.
Okay, great. Yeah, the hotel Wi-Fi cut out just then. I'm glad that was the only real bad cutout we had during this episode. But yeah, fun season. Thanks everyone for listening. Thanks to Cooperage. We had a title sponsor for the first time this year, which is really fun.
That was dope. Maybe I'm not gonna just say it on the pod.
Okay.
We'll talk offline.
But no, thanks everybody for listening. The support for this podcast has been amazing. It's been really cool to see people send us pictures of like buying the Cooperage Candlestick Chronicles Hazy IPA, which is also delicious. Like we say it all the time. It's a really good beer, and the can looks amazing if you're a Niners fan. And if you like hazies, like, it's awesome. And so it's cool. It's not just like a gimmick, like, oh, hey, buy this beer that's named after our podcast. It's like, no, this beer is like really legitimately A+.
My folks are not IPA drinkers and they like it.
Yeah, no, it's good. I have so many people who, you know, are friends, but maybe not even necessarily Niners fans. We're like, dude, the beer they made is really good. It's like, yeah, I wouldn't be also, hawking it on here if it was bad.
I was so nervous because I had not had a hazy IPA that I was like gung ho about.
Yeah.
I didn't try to punch before they made this one. And I was like, this is going to suck if I don't like this. I got to pretend to like it, but that didn't happen. I love it.
Yeah.
While we're on this subject, I want to apologize to everybody out of state who we can't ship beer to. We just physically can't.
It's against the law.
Yeah. And I love you for listening and I love you for wanting to try the beer, but I'm not getting in trouble with law enforcement to send beer.
Sorry. Yeah. I don't know this for certain, but I think there's a pretty good chance that Candlestick Chronicles will continue to get remade by Cooperage. They did what? Crossed. Three runs this year? Is it three?
Three. Yep.
Yeah, three runs this year. I think they only pretty did dumb. They do one last year?
Three? Yes. One.
One. Yeah, they did one last year and three this year. So I think overall that's a good sign. So keep an eye out maybe over the summer when training camp starts from the fall. Well, anyway, we'll be in touch about this stuff. But we're going to get out of here.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. It was a great season, and we will have more content coming later this week.
So much content.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.